Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dykewood Mills. Dykewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 2,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches.
Hallelujah.
The First Love Church is a vibrant church.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Are you happy to be at the First Love prophetic encounter service? Then give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. After you are born again, you live a supernatural life. And God becomes your creator, He becomes your maker, He becomes your father. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory. Expect God to provide for you supernaturally. Amen. If you believe it, shout, yeah. Our first testimony is coming from our brother Femi. He's a dancing star. Oh, put your hands together for him. Going to tell you how God supernaturally provided for him. Femi, tell us, what did God done for you?
Amen. I want to thank the Lord for giving me the opportunity to design and build a structure. I'm in Central University and I'm in my second year studying architecture. Somewhere last year, the prophet prophesied that I see a man, he's coming with good things, he's holding bags. I got up, I received it, and he said as well that you there's somebody here, you go somewhere, you think you are going there once, but you go there and keep going there and keep going there. And I believed it. The next week or so, my mom told me a certain man was looking for me. And I said, okay. It was around my birthday, which was in September. So I went to meet him on my birthday and we had dinner. Before he left, he asked me what I'm doing in school. I said, architecture. He said, okay, I should come and see him the next week. When I came, he told me he has 2 plots of land somewhere at Afienya that he wants to design a restaurant that should do it for him.
He wants to design a restaurant. And he didn't find any architect in Ghana.
We have 5 years in my school.
5 years. And you are in which year?
Second year, level 200.
And what did he say?
And he said, I should come the next week to the same location with sketches. So I came back the next week with sketches. I came back the following week with designs. And I kept coming back to the office with reiterations upon reiterations of the same work. So somewhere in February, when I vacated, the first day I went to the office and he went to tell the HR that this boy will be coming to this office every single day for the next month. So you have to put him into the system and allow him to in. But the most beautiful thing was that I've designed a building. It's at Afienya Mataeko Road. If you go,
you have designed a building.
Me, Olufemi, I've designed a building.
And the building has
the building is if you go on the Mataeko, you see a new Basilisa restaurant. With a B on it, with a light. I was the one.
Oh, why don't you put your hands together for Jesus? He's not yet done with school. He's in second year. And he said he came to church and he believed what he heard. That a certain man is going to call for you. And he's going to ask you to keep coming. And you are going to become important. And today he's designing buildings for people. Shout, here! You are the next person to sit before important people.
And Bishop said good things. So, even me going to the office, I had somebody who come and pick me and come and drop me back in the office. I never went hungry because they'll give me lunch, supper. If I'm hungry, they'll just call the restaurant.
Oh, why don't you give the Lord a shout of praise? Is this supernatural or is not supernatural? I said, is this supernatural or is not supernatural? Expect to live a supernatural life too. So, Femi, what do you have to say?
I want to encourage you to believe in the prophecy. Charlie, they are real beer. Believe in the prophecies. Thank you very much.
Wow, give us a dance as you go. Wow, put your hands together for Femi. Wow. Our second testimony is coming from Ikea Chum. She's also a dancing star. Give it up for her, she comes. My God shall supply all my needs. When God becomes your dad, he will supply for you. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Tell us, what has God done for you?
I want to thank God for blessing me with miracle money.
Wow.
So 2 weeks ago, it was on Tuesday morning, I wanted to send some money to the Ben MP number.
The Ben MP?
Yes.
What does Ben MP stand for?
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Exciting.
Nice.
Mood changing.
Wow.
Yes. So I checked my mobile money wallet and I had only 13 cedis.
You had how much?
13.
In your mobile money wallet?
Yes.
Wow. So may you have more than 13 cedis. Can agree with me that 13 is quite low. It's a bit low. 13 cedis is a bit It's a bit serious. And what happened?
So I was wondering because I felt the amount was too small. So I wanted to wait till when I had money, then I send it. So I'll take my phone, try to send it, and I'll put it down. So eventually I sent 10 CDs. That was around.
You sent how much?
10 CDs.
You sent 10 CDs out of your 13 CDs.
Yes.
To the beautiful, exciting, mood-changing partner's number.
Yes.
Wow.
So that was around 10 a.m.
10 a.m.
Yes. Around 4 p.m. the same day.
The same day.
Yes.
4 p.m.
Yes. I received a mobile money message.
Mm.
And this message was a bit different from the usual one.
It was different from the usual mobile money message.
It only said that cash in received for 500 CDs. It didn't have, and then the vendor's name, it didn't have a transaction ID, no reference, nothing else. Apart from the fact that it was 500.
How much? How much did you receive?
500.
Hey, you are still sitting down like that. I thought you'd be on your feet and give the Lord a shout of praise. You received 500 CDs.
Yes.
After you sent 10 CDs out of your 13 CDs.
Yes.
To the Ben MP partners numbers.
Yes.
And did you try to find out who sent the money?
There was no number to contact.
There was no number.
Yes, I was waiting for the person.
What about transaction ID?
There was no transaction ID.
There was
no reference.
No reference.
Nothing.
Just cash in received
for
500. You are receiving supernatural miracle money too. Amen. You see, recently someone sent me Western Union. And I was there and it arrived on my phone. And it occurred to me that there is money flying all over in the air. But you need a divine power to attract the money to arrive on your phone. As you come to church and you obey the instructions, power is coming to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So would you encourage everybody to be a Ben MP partner?
Yes.
Is it supernatural, the money you received? Wow. Wow. Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. And let's welcome Dinio to give us our final testimony. She's from Botswana. I'll do it better for her. Tell us, what has God done for you?
Wow. I'd like to thank God for delivering me from a life of fornication and hopelessness. It all started when I went to the tertiary school. And then when I got there, I decided that we have to explore more. So I moved. I remember I used to move and jump from one guy to the other.
That was the kind of exploration you were doing?
Yes.
Not mineral exploration or...
No.
You were exploring boys.
I was exploring
Say,
boys.
Say, yeah. May God deliver you from every bad lifestyle. And what happened to you?
I mean, I changed guys to a point where now I graduated from dating my mates to a lecturer. So you can understand the extent of the fornication I was doing.
Let's see.
But then one evening, a shepherd came, Pastor Ehi and his beautiful wife, Lady Pastor Barbara. They came one evening for outreach in our school.
This is in Botswana. This was in Botswana.
Yes.
Where in Botswana?
Odi College.
Wow.
I was in Odi College. They came for outreach in our school, invited us to come to church. And then I went to church. But then in my going to church, I wasn't stable. I kept on doing the one or two fornications and going back. But then as I was doing this, they were persistent in their following me up. They followed me up. They kept on calling, sending messages. At a point, I was stable. And by the grace of God, the guys started dropping off until I was left with nothing. And I became a church girl. As I'm standing here, by the grace of God, I'm in the Anakazo Bible.
Oh, this is where you stand your feet. This is where you put your hands together for Jesus. And you celebrate the changing power of God. You said you're like the Bible school now.
Yes, I'm in the prestigious Anakazo Bible School. So I want to thank God for the life of my prophet, Bishop Doug Heward Mills. Daddy, I thank you for sending very wonderful people in Botswana. I mean, if it weren't for you, I wouldn't be standing here. It is a miracle that I'm standing here today. And thank you for the books also. They are really a blessing. They are changing our lives. Thank you.
So would you be a missionary yourself?
I mean, I don't see myself doing anything else apart from serving God.
Wow, put your hands together for Jesus. God is making us candles in the dark. I see you winning souls wherever you are. I see someone testifying and mentioning your name that you came to follow me up. Put your hands together for powerful testimonies.
pray. Three times in the garden, if it be your will, Lord, let this cup pass over me. But he said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. Accept your perfect will for my life today, oh, 'cause you hold my destiny, you have a purpose for me, you have a plan for me, oh yeah, I want to follow your will. Choice you make for me. I just love the mystery of your will. Oh, take my hand and walk with me. Ooh, Lord, I trust in your will. I believe in your word. I'll go all the way. Yeah. Lord, I will accept your purpose. Today, yeah, 'cause you hold my destiny, you have a purpose for me, the Lord, you have a plan for me, oh yeah, I want to follow your will, every day, every night, when I'm down on my knees, praying here, your will may be done and your purpose fulfilled in my life. Oh yeah, I will follow where you go. I'll follow. I will do what you say. I'll follow. I will listen to your voice. I'll follow forever, 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 forever.
Gonna go to hell. Nightclubs, boozing.
today. Satan has deceived you and you and you. Eternity begins in heaven or in hell. The soul that sins, that soul will die. How can you explain it? Your lifestyle of parties forever. You're gonna go to hell. Nightclubs, boozing, fooling forever. Oh, oh. All you do is to have fun. Give your life, give your life to Jesus Christ. Young people lost in sin. Sheep without a shepherd, 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 shepherd. How can they be saved unless they hear? Then Jesus' gospel be declared. How can they explain it? Their lifestyle parties forever. They're gonna go to hell. Nightclubs, boozing, fooling forever. Oh, oh. All they do is to have fun. Give your life, give your life to Jesus Christ. Come out.
the prettiest girl we'd ever seen. You're sweet, so sweet, so sweet. He said, you are the one. You're sweet, so sweet, so sweet. I was at work one day, he came to visit me. He waited and took me home. He said nice things to me. You're nice, so nice, so nice. My pastor said to me, you cannot be unequally yoked with unbeliever. And then he said to me, you must be led by God. You can't just fall in love following your feelings. Papiji, he promised me, and other girls, he promised to marry them too. But he lied to one of us. He said, you are the one. But he lied to one of us. I prayed and prayed that he would come to me. I really wanted to marry a very nice guy. He came, wrapped me. I thought he was the one. But the word of God is always right. Always right. Light and darkness, they cannot mix at all. Kabichi was so excited, but he was not a Christian, a genuine Christian. My pastor said to me, the word of God is true. What has light got to do with darkness? Your body is the temple of the Lord. So don't give yourself to boys like Kabichi. Kabichi, he promised me, and other girls, he promised to marry them too. He promised me, and other girls, he promised to marry them too. But he lied to one of us. He said, you are the one. But he lied to one of us. Love, then you will give. Mm-hmm.
It's been 2 weeks of missing our father, 2 weeks of downloading podcasts, 2 weeks of catching Facebook Live, 2 weeks of allowing Italians and Swiss people and Americans and British people. But it's my privilege today to inform you that our prophet is home. He's in the house. I can feel the anointing already.
fact that we expect miracles today in your presence. Guide us by your mighty power. I want you to pray for a spirit of light right now for a moment. Just ask God to give you light. Light. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for leading us. We are grateful in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. You may be seated. What a blessing. Well, it's good to be back home. Hallelujah. Now, we thank the Lord. Thank you. Please be seated. All right. Hallelujah. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord. And I know that today you are going to be blessed. Because we are blessed when we come to the house of the Lord. Amen. There are very important things that I believe God is sharing with us. And I believe that I'm also going to share important things with you. Luke 22, verse 25 and 26. This is not the message, but it's a message. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors." Now, what is lordship? Lordship is like authority, power, dignity. So, in the world, the Bible says that they practice the use of dignity and authority and power over people. That's what makes you great in the world. Because verse 24 says, "There was a strife amongst them as to who should be accounted the greatest." So, Jesus was showing what is great. And the Bible says that he said, the exercise lordship. Exercise means to practice or to exert or to manifest. All right? Authority, dignity, that's the lordship. Big manism is another word. Big shotism. All right? And those that do that are called benefactors. Now, verse 26. "But you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, So this scripture is showing us that in the kingdom of God, it is a good thing to be as a young person. Let him be as the younger. Notice. Let him be as the younger. Now you'll find out that being young in the house of God is not a bad thing. And how young people are, it's not a bad thing in the house of God. In the house of God, rather, is a greater thing to be a young person. Because young people are more humble. And young people are more... you see, a woman who is young, behaving and young, is usually chosen for marriage. Yeah. Yes. Even though an older person may even be prettier than a young person, because there are older people that are even prettier. Yes. Keep your eyes open. Always keep your eyes open. All right? But younger is greater in the house of God. Yes. And you'll find out that those who despise, you see, when he said, let him be as the younger. Let him be as the younger. Let him behave like a young person. It also means that. Let him behave like a young person and be young in all the things. Because even to have a baby, you have to be young behaving and young thinking and young acting. Yes. I mean, we have so many. How many brothers here are not married? Yes. Many. Many. And you'll find out that hardly do they go looking for an older lady. Yes. But it's not that the older are not pretty or beautiful. True. Yes. You know, there are beautiful, many older ladies are even more beautiful. They have even sometimes more money to buy hair. And clothes. And then they have drank more milk. And they are more juicy. But rarely do you find the younger brothers going for the older. Because it says, let him be as the younger. Read it in your Bible. Let him be as the younger. So there is a way a younger person bees. It's a word. Or behaves. Yes, bees. And that is what Jesus is talking about. Younger person believes more. The more experiences you have, the less you believe in things. The more changes in government you've seen, the less you believe that a change in government will change anything. Yes. The more you've seen it, the less you believe. The more boys have told you they love you and didn't marry you and didn't really love you, the less you believe such things. But the younger you are, when they say, I love you, you say, wow. Yes. So, God is telling us to be as the younger. That is not a bad thing. Younger people praise God differently from older people. And our praises, sometimes you can have a young boy, a young man, or young lady leading praises like an old person. And you can have an old person leading praises like a young person. Yes. It's how they be, how their bees are. Ask your neighbor, how are your bees? Yes. How are your bees? That means, how do you behave? Yes. When I traveled and I went around the churches, I saw one thing, that the younger the people are, the younger the children, the congregation, the greater it is before God. Oh yes, greater. I can preach to people who are old in their minds the great things that Jesus said, and they may stare at me in blankness, in absolute neutrality. But you can say the same thing to a young person, and the person is shouting, is screaming, is clapping, is standing, is excited. Hallelujah. So being young is not a bad thing at all, and it's not something for being evil. No. Goodness and fruitfulness in God comes from young people as well. So I want to encourage you. I was encouraged when I saw the First Love Church in the UK, which is now even greater than the, you see, the pastors, some of the pastors in the First Love Church in the UK, they are pastors' children. And some of them, their churches are bigger than their parents' churches. Yes, practically. I can give you example after example. The children are here, and these are the parents. But the children's churches are three times the size of their parents' churches. Practically. Yes. It's amazing. So, let him be as the younger. Act like a young person. Think like a young person. Flow like a young person. Yes. The flow. Because your attitudes also grow. The attitudes is a whole section of the human being which can be even occupied by hardening demons. And the attitude changes. So you can have a young person whose attitude is grown. God for really bid. Hallelujah. And I tell you, we are going to really be blessed the younger we are. When I came to the First Love Church, when we started First Love Church, I can be the parent. In fact, that's my son who introduced me. I can be the parent of many of the children. They said, this is a children's church. Look, this is a children's church. All the grown-ups here are welcome as special members. Huh? Yes. They have a young heart. Like myself. Because the young people here, few of you are as young as I am. But when God brought me here, I realized that he had given me another chance. Yes. Yeah. It's like a woman who is gets another chance to marry another person after one cycle, and somebody comes to choose you. I mean, in your elderly, worn out state, and somebody comes to choose you again. What? It's a miracle. You see, we are the bride of Christ. Yes. So sometimes after 25 years of being the bride of Christ, from the age of 25, by a certain age, you see that etobo, I don't know how to say it, like you are tired of being a bride. Yes. But God is looking for people who are not tired of being a bride. Yeah. Yes. Some brides are tired on the first day of their marriage. God for really bid. No. Shh. All my stories are true. Many, I've seen many, they're tired on the first day. The first day of Christmas, they are tired. And then as the days go by, you see that some are still tired. How can you be tired of being a bride? So church, I tell you, it is good to be young. All the people here are young. They are young pastors, young children. It is a blessing. Yes. Some people think that young people are only smoking and drinking and fooling. No. No. Not true at all. There are many young people that are serving God. Yeah. So, tell your neighbor, are you into parties and wild clubs, nightclubs and what have you, Charlie? Over here, their young people are serving God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Seven great principles of fruitfulness. Seven great principles of fruitfulness. That is the topic today. Seven great principles of fruitfulness. Amen. Principle number one. After you are born again, you must press on into fruitfulness by being planted in Christ. Planted and rooted in Christ. After you are born again. After you are born again, you must press on into fruitfulness by being planted in Christ. Amen. After you are, let's all say it together, after you are born again, you must press on into fruitfulness by being planted in Christ. John 15 and verse 5. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. All right? So, after you are born again, you must abide or be planted. You must stay. So to be planted is different from to travel through. So after you are born again, listen, many people are not experiencing Christianity as it should be. And the reason is that after being born again, there are many things to know and many things to do. It's like having a child. You can't just have a child. That's why when somebody has a child, the person becomes far more responsible and has so many things to do. Because this human being that has been brought into the world cannot just be left there. Is that not so? Now you are born again. You are a new child, a new baby in Christ. Okay? And you now need to press on to what is next. To have a supernatural life. To have a great change. To have spiritual growth. And to have fruitfulness. You must be fruitful. All right? Fruitful means to reproduce after your own kind. It means to bring out something after God has been kind to you and you have come to know him. God expects you to do something. Now, the more you get stuck and based, planted in God, the more you are likely to bear some fruits. Amen. Psalm 1, verse number 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. So when you are planted, when you are permanent, the next thing is there's going to be fruit. So churches are filled with fruitless Christians. Yes. Churches today are filled with fruitless Christians. But God is expecting something from you. This one is not something you are going to receive. And churches are filled with people whose mouths are open like newborn sparrows. Have you ever seen a sparrow in the nest? Their mouths open like this, expecting the mother to come and put something in. And many Christians are like these newborn sparrows whose mouths are just expecting something to be put into them. But I want you to know that after you are born again, rather than expecting, living a life, expecting to receive something more. God is going to bless me. God is going to give me money. God is going to make me rich. God is going to do this for me. God is going to help me. God is going to do. You have to retune your mind. Because that is the religious concept of what Christianity is now. It's like a get me something religion. Get me something. Give me something religion. All right? Where you come and God gives you things. And God brings things to you. God blesses you. God prophesies to you of great things which you cannot get without a supernatural power. So that God becomes something like a juju. Do you understand when I say a juju? Like a kind of power, a charm that you have to help you to get the things you need in your life. But that is not Christianity. When you read your Bible, John 15 verse 5, it says that I am the vine, you are the branches, okay? You are a branch. Jesus is the vine. Then the primary branches are the apostles. All right? The primary branches are the apostles that came out. And after them, we have other ministry gifts like other apostles, pastors, teachers, and so on. They are smaller branches. And then you have the small, even smaller branches, that is the rest of us. Okay? Before we come to leaves, who are people who are almost about to fall off. You get what I'm saying? God for really bait. So we have the vine, which is the main trunk, is Jesus Christ. Okay? And then after that, you have the branches, the primary branches, the secondary branches, and then the tertiary branches, and then the leaves at the end. All right? So you are a branch. And you are we're expecting to have fruits from you. So rather than thinking that, what is God going to do for me? You have to think now, what am I going to do for God? Yeah. So as you have come, welcome. Shake your neighbor and say, welcome to come and bear some fruits here. We are happy that you are here. Yeah. We are happy that you are around. Yeah, but you now need to bear fruit. Hallelujah. Amen. And until you orient your mind in that way, you are not healed. You are not a good Christian. You are not a normal Christian. So now you have churches filled to capacity with seekers of blessings, seekers of money, seekers of husbands and wives, seekers of various things. And I want you to know that we can go 1,000 years. It can never be against what is in the word of God. That is not what is expected from you. There are going to be all these things, but the mind must be, I am supposed to do something. Now let us turn to a very wicked man. How many of you here will say you were a very wicked person? How many will say you are mildly wicked? Mild to moderate. This section. Mild, look, I need mild, moderate to severe wickedness. How many were severely wicked? How many were moderately wicked? How many were mildly wicked? And how many were kind and good? Before you got saved, all this section were kind and good. Mostly the dancing stars. All right. Now, I want you to know that God is expecting, all right, something. Now, this is a very wicked man called Paul. Saul. In Acts chapter 9, he got saved. And then immediately, look at it, in Acts 9 verse 11, and the Lord said to, let's read from verse 9. Yeah. And he was 3 days without sight. This was Saul after he got saved. Verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here am I. Then he said, go, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul. Behold, he prayeth. He hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Make sure you never become someone who has done evil to the church. Amen. And to the saints of God. But this was Saul. Alright. Now he hath authority. And Ananias answered and said, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. He is a chosen vessel. You are a chosen vessel. You are a chosen vessel. Amen. He said, he is a chosen vessel to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. All right. For I will show him how great things and blessings he is to receive. No. He says, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So you see, we are receiving half of the truth when we hear about the blessings and the cars and the money and the so-called prosperity is only half of the truth. And half truths are the most deadly type of lies, because they are very powerful, you understand, in disarming Christians. Because you lose God when you see the element of truth in the lie. Because there's some truth in it, it makes you put all your guards down and say, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. What you are saying is right. You get it. But it's just half of the truth. Okay? That's what Adam and Eve followed. God said, the devil came to Eve and said, did God say you cannot do this? Oh, God knows you become like a god and you see everything. You know things, you be. And it was true. But that was just half of the truth. The other half of the truth was the cemeteries you see today that are filled, the tears that have fallen on graves in people's homes, the disappointments, the funerals, the sadness, the diseases, the diagnosis of diseases, the accidents, the terrible things, the terror. That's the other half of the truth, which wasn't mentioned. So the first half, which was true, was very powerful. So half-truths are the most terrible type of lies, because it's just telling you half and leading you with strength. All the temptations of Jesus were true. The devil told Jesus things that were true and was even quoting scriptures, you see. But it was only half of the truth. And Jesus knew the whole scripture and told him the other half of the truth. He said, if you are the Son of God, which was true, you are the Son of God, cast yourself down. But the other side is that you should not tempt the Lord your God. Okay, so if you are the Son of God, turn this, which is true. I am the Son of God, and I'll finish my fast. So let me turn into bread. No, man shall not live by bread. No, that's the other half of the truth. So God's word is made up of many things. And when you follow half of the truth, you get yourself into the most deadly kind of trouble. So the church has gotten itself into deadly troubles by believing half of the truth, which is that God wants to bless us above all things. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. It is true. All the people who preach prosperity, nobody is lying. Nobody. Take it from me. I will certify for you after church. Bring the sermon. I will sign. It's a good sermon. They are all true. But it's only half of the truth. Yes, I've never heard any prosperity preacher telling lies. They are all true things. But it's half of the truth. This other half is there. Paul said, I will not show you what you will suffer. There is suffering in Christ. And I will show you, you are a vessel. That's why I'm saving you. Not just to get things. That's the other side. You get it? So there's two sides. And if you don't have the full thing, you are going to be completely led astray. And it's powerful because it is true. The lie is true. The lie is true. That's why it's powerful. And I call it the lie because it is leading you. And it is true. So we go on. And he said, I'll show you what you must suffer. Now, Ananias went his way and entered in his house and put his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, appeared to thee on the way that thou camest, has sent me that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes scales, and he received sight and arose and was baptized. Now, when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Verse 20. And straight away, everybody say straight away, he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Wow. So you see, not long after his salvation, actually when he was recovering from the blindness and started doing a bit of Bible study, the next thing was that, hey, I'm into preaching. So tell your neighbor, how long is it going to take for you to start preaching? How long, are you going to take to start preaching? Number two, after you are born again, you must show you are worthy of your salvation by being fruitful. Principle number two, after you are born again, you must show that you are worthy of your salvation. All right? By being fruitful. You must show that you are worthy of the effort which God made to save you by being fruitful. Hallelujah. Now, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. The first principle is telling us that we should be planted solid. Because how many know that a tree cannot bear fruit if you keep moving it around? So don't be moving around from church to church. That's why people are not fruitful, because they move around. That's why people are not fruitful, because they are not stable in Christ and in God. Hallelujah. But now, it's telling us that you must look at it. Colossians 1:10. Let's look from verse 9. For this cause, since we heard, since the day we heard of your salvation. You see, that's what I said, after you are saved. From the day we heard of it, we don't cease to pray for you and to desire that you should be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and all understanding. Okay? And verse 10, and that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, are you worthy of your salvation? And the only way you are worthy is not because you are good. You know you are not good. Even after salvation, the evidence is there. Is it true or it's not true? Like after salvation, not let forget about even before. After salvation, the evidence is there. Your behavior, your sins, your lusts, your desire, many, many, many things. Is it not true? Like when Peter healed the man on the way to the temple, people were looking on him, and he said, why look on us as though by our own power or our own holiness we have made this man to walk? Acts 3:12. Why do you look as if it's our own power? So why do people look at you as though it's because you are powerful and holy that you are a Christian? No, it's not true. Check with your neighbor whether he's powerful and holy. Powerful and holy? What did they say? Far from it. So, how do you prove that it was worth saving you? Now, I like, there's a vision that William Booth had. And that vision, there were people on an island, a little island, and he was surrounded by water, and there were people dying in the water and drowning, and people were making efforts to save them. But when the people got saved and they came onto the island, they immediately forgot about their fellow creatures who were in the water struggling. So what you have to ask yourself is that if God has saved you, like when he looked at the people that were struggling in the water, then he said, let me throw a rope to this one. You were chosen out of the strugglers and you were selected, and a rope was thrown to you, dark, and then you were pulled out. You came out of the water and came to the land. Then you ask yourself, why was I chosen? You were chosen because it was hope that when you come, you will help to throw more ropes to more people, to rescue more people that are dying in the water. But when you come out of the water and you forget about the people that were in the water, because you were not better than the others who are in the water. It's not that you were powerful or you were holy and they were dirty. You are all struggling, and you were chosen with the hope that when you come out of the water, you will prove that you were worth saving by helping somebody else. That you are worth saving. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing by being fruitful in every good work. That's what proves that it was worth the effort to save. Look at me, my family. I mean, you see, you hardly find somebody in my church, in this church, with my name. Yes. You think I don't have relatives? The other time, even when I was at the border, one of the border said, this is a very common name. They were asking me so many questions. I said, well, I don't know. Have you done this? I said, what are you asking? You said, your name is a common name. You hardly find in the church, at least in our church, you can find my wife's relatives. So God threw his rope to me out of my family. He threw his rope to me because I'm good, because I'm holy. It cannot be. The evidence is that it cannot be. So he was expecting me to get to the job and now also be fruitful and do what was done for me. So when you come to church, you sit in church and you can actually come to church alone without helping others to be saved and bearing fruits, I tell you, there is something severely, not moderately or mildly. We have three levels, mild, moderate, and severe. Severely wrong with your mind. Yes. And I tell you, to think of always getting blessing, 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 it is a false and half-truth that you are following. So fruitfulness is your only answer to the meaning. Like, so sometimes you ask, so why me? Why did you save me? You know, people who have been in terrible accidents and came out, let's say one person came out like a plane. I was watching this 747 when they crashed. After, most of the people couldn't work again. So I can't work again. I can't fly again. I can't know. I don't know how I escaped. Everybody died. This Tenerife accident, Panam and KLM, when the 2747s crashed, some people went to town. You know, the plane had delayed on the tarmac. So some people went to town. When they came, I said, you are late, you can't come over, you can't come over. So they were standing there. They were standing, I think three or four of them, they were standing there. They don't let us go on this flight. They don't let us go on the flight. And they were standing at the airport. They were supposed to be on the flight. And then they watched it. They watched it. Because it happened on the ground. The accident didn't happen in the air. It happened on the ground. KLM, Panam, 747, two of them. One was taking off and one was coming. They couldn't see. This one couldn't see. You know, some airports have, you come and you go. It's on the same one. Yes. And they were standing there. And they watched. Everybody in the KLM, everybody went. They were going up. The Pan Am came to the side, and those at the business class in the front, a few of them escaped. But the plane hit the middle. So a few of them at the front. A few. But the KLM was going up. When it hit with the wheels, it came down. That was it. Full. So they were standing watching. You can't work again. You ask us all that. I never even planned to not be. It was almost like accidental. So ask yourself, why? So I watched and they interviewed different people who were on, who escaped. So how do you, so I can't work. So I said, I can't fly. So I said, I can't work. So I don't know what I'm doing. This has become an NGO. This one is doing social work. They don't know. It's like, why am I alive? That's how you should be. You should be stunned. The fact that you are saved, you should be like, you are stunned by electric shock. Like, why am I saved? It should stun you. Yes. Don't you have cousins? Don't you have brothers who don't think about God? Don't you have relatives? Does it not strike you why God put you here? Why God should rescue you? The only reason that could be possible is that you would turn around and help somebody to know this same Jesus. That can, I tell you, be the only reason I can think of on this earth. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 11. It says, according to the glorious gospel of that blessed God, which was committed to my trust, I thank God who has enabled me. Look, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was before? A blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of God was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. But look at what he says in verse 12. He says, I thank God who has enabled me, for he counted me faithful. Why God gives us money? Most of the people who get money, who have power, who are in a position, most of them forget why they are there. It's amazing. It's amazing. You will grow when you are in the church, not to expect anything from people when they prosper. When you grow, you mature and you realize, oh, don't expect anything. So whenever somebody remembers, it's always surprising. Yes, you're always, oh, really? He's really doing this? Is what do that? Is it remembering? Most people don't remember no NATO. So you get surprised. But as you get experience as a pastor, you know, as a pastor, you'll be sad about things. A lot of things. You'll be sad, you'll be happy, you'll be sad, you'll be happy. As you get older and you see more things, you are not so sad. In fact, sometimes you are happy. Because you, oh yes. Like sometimes people are breaking up relationships. So it is better you break because you know how it's going to be. Yes, you are not sad. You are happy. And there are things you think this one, look at the position God has blessed him. So now the church is going to, no, when you are experienced, you don't expect anything. When the person does remember, they say, ah, thank God. But most of the rich people have money, they'll spend on themselves, on their families, on their cars, on their house, on whatever. And the church, they just throw some few in Cartier. You know, in the granite, when you eat up to a point, the spoiled ones are left. Yes. Those of you are experienced granite eaters. Yes. When you eat a lot of in Cartier, you start to see that at a point, the last ones are all spoiled. Yes. Because they can't be peeled easily. Yeah. And then they just throw that one on the church with some peels. But the gold, the real ones, is for something else. Yeah. But Paul said, God considered me to be faithful. Look at Reinhard Bonnke. Yeah. 78 or 79 years old. He's a German. How many Germans believe in God? You get what I'm saying? How many Germans believe in God? Let's be serious. But here he is. Trying his best. Yeah. That God has counted him faithful. And put him in the ministry to preach until he died. He said he will not die in front of a television. Yes. He will not die in front of a television. He goes to preach with a chair. Yeah. He goes to preach with a chair. He said he cannot stand. When he preaches and he cannot, then he sit down. And then some people will be holding him. He'll preach. Is that to sit in front of television to die? No way. Well, God has put him, God has counted him reliable to give him 70 plus years. Is he going to be quiet, watch television and die? Your salvation should shock you and stand you into fruitfulness. And you see, many of us, we don't tell our real lives. Sometimes when we are giving testimony, we give 10% or 20% of the testimony. The 80%, it is for further notice. I mean, internal consumption only. True or not true? Yeah. Wow stories, but it's like, Charlie, keep it in your pocket. What is principle number one? I can't hear you. Amen. Number two, after you are born again, you must show by being fruitful. Number three, principle number three. Don't write it number one, write principle number one, principle number two. Principle number three, after you are born again, you must be fruitful because the Holy Spirit has been poured out on you. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit is poured out on you. Amen. Isaiah 32, verse 13. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses and a pasture of flocks. Would you like your house to be filled with wild donkeys? No. But where is there going to be a change? In verse 15. Until the Spirit is poured out on us from on high. And then the wilderness will become a fruitful field. And the fruitful field will become even a forest. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, whenever the Holy Spirit comes into your life, fruitfulness is the next thing. How many of you have received the Holy Spirit and even speak in tongues? Raise your hand like this. Let me see. Wow. How many have not yet received the Holy Spirit and not yet speaking in tongues? Wave your hand. Because we pray for, once I see there are a lot of people that I always pray, want to pray for you. As soon as we close, all of you who raise your hand, you've not yet received the Holy Spirit, please come to this podcast corner here. And we are going to meet with you. Very important. All right? Now, the Holy Spirit makes you fruitful. You see, spirits, you can't feel them. The Spirit is not sweating. That's not that when you feel sweat, you feel that the Spirit is on you. The Spirit is not the feeling of oil. It is not oil that is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not the feeling of hunger that comes at the end of fasting. How many have had that feeling? You have a certain feeling at the end of the fast. Then you feel spiritual. And you feel, wow, I'm really spiritual today. You get what I'm saying? Yes. It is none of these. It's none of these. Spirits cannot be felt in a certain sense unless they are biting your flesh. When they are niggling your flesh, you sometimes are feeling. Some of the sexual feelings, they are actually a spirit that is eating, like it's touching your sexual parts and stirring, like it stimulates it. When it, like Bible says that the serpent will eat the dust. You see, and you are dust. So he sometimes comes to those parts and starts to, and it stimulates you. And you see that you are stimulated demonically. Yes. Yes. It's true. So demons, they even feel songs. A lot of the songs that Ida sang, a lot of them were demonized songs that are completely different from the spirit that is in them now. Yeah. They were charged with evil spirits. But now they are charged with a good spirit. Yeah. That's why you are enjoying them in the church. We can sing it in church. Because at first, if you hear certain songs, by all means, you fornicate on that very thing. Or you smoke weed. Or you smoke weed. Yes. The spirits are moving in the music. Yeah. Now, if you want to understand an evil spirit is an intelligent animal. Because all the spirits in the Bible, almost all of them, are described as an animal. Lion, a snake, a dragon, flies, frogs, all. But the difference is, they seem to speak. They speak. They have a mind. They even know you. They even study you. They know your ways. That's why I say, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But you, we don't know. We don't recognize certain things about you. You get it? So the serpent can stimulate and stir up. But apart from that, when there's a spirit, you can't really see, except you see the actions. So sometimes you can have a spirit, you don't know that you have that spirit. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 54. Try 54. Luke 9, 54. Aha. It says, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, or if you look at the verse before, they saw somebody doing it, and they said they did not receive him. Jesus was going somewhere to preach. They did not receive him. Don't come here. Don't come here. They did not want him. They rejected him. Verse 54. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, said, shall we call fire to kill all of these people? And then look at Jesus' answer in verse 55. Jesus says, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. In other words, you can have a spirit. You don't know that even that you have that spirit. Yeah. You can actually have a spirit. You don't know that you have the spirit. You get what I'm saying? Both evil and good. Because spirits, you can't feel. When you feel the Holy Spirit, you don't. It's not easy to feel. Yes. So when you have the Holy Spirit, you may not know that you have a spirit that makes you fruitful. Yes. But actually, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you now have something that will make you a fruitful Christian, somebody who can witness and somebody who can preach, if you have the Holy Spirit. Once you have the Holy Spirit, yes. But you may not know it. That's why we even tell you to you see, he said, you shall receive power after the Spirit comes and you'll be my witnesses. So you may have the Spirit, you don't know that you can witness. So I don't know what spirit you have. You have the spirit. I don't know what spirit you have. Yeah. So that's why we have to tell you that God is expecting you to open your mouth and lead people to God and lead people to Jesus and bear fruits in Christ. Because you may not even know that that spirit is there. The same as an evil spirit. When somebody tells you you've got a spirit of pride, don't fight too much. Because pride is not easy to see. You see, you can't see your face. Look at your face. Can you see your face? You see, you can't see your face. Look at your face right now. Can you see your face? No, I can see your face. So, the Holy Spirit, he is here. And when he's present, you are empowered to witness and to preach. You'll be shocked at how good a preacher you are. Yeah. You'll be shocked. How wild a preacher you are. How convincing you are when you open your mouth to talk. Yes. Anybody who has rapped a lot of girls, I tell you, it is. You'll be shocked when you switch from evil spirit to a good spirit. And God uses the same way of talking to convince a lot of people to be saved. Any beautiful lady who has charmed men, the day you turn your charm in another direction and you start to charm people to Jesus, not to yourself, you'll be surprised. So the Holy Ghost is now on you. Isaiah 32 verse 15. Till the Spirit is poured upon us and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field. So instead of being a wilderness with nothing. You know, when I was in London, I called a baby jet pastor. I asked her, how many members do you have? 120 people. She had in her chair, little girl. You see them small like that. Small like this. Baby jet. Too fantastic. You'd be surprised what you can do for God. Yeah. Don't be thinking, beloved, when you have members, 120, it means you've got 120 people who may even want, they're all afraid to propose to you. Because I'm going to marry my pastor. Pastor. tell your neighbor, it seems you don't know what spirit you are of. It seems you don't know that you are an evangelist. It seems you don't know that you are an evangelist or a soul winner. You are a fruitful Christian. What? It seems you don't know. You are a soul winner. It seems you don't know. It seems you don't know. You know, do you know T.L. Osborne? Very famous man of God. I was privileged to be with him in Seattle one time. You'll be traveling to Seattle. It's not far for you. Tell your neighbor, Seattle will not be far for you. Yeah. It will not be far nor difficult to get to in the name of Jesus. Now, the prophecy you believe. I prophesy about Seattle in Jesus' name. Be as a young person who is receiving it. Yes. Now, sit down. I was speaking to T.L. Osborne. You get it? Because he was preaching one of the services and I was honored to preach in another of the services. So we were sitting down to talk and I asked him a question because you have to ask questions. When you don't ask questions, it shows a certain dullness. God for really bad. Yeah. Now I asked him, so, sir, where should we go for evangelism? Like where? How do you know where to go? What to do? What? You know what he told me? He rebuked me. Yeah. He said, don't be spooky. Just go. Go. Don't be spooky. Like, don't be mysterious. See, the spirit is leading something spooky. Which way you want to go? He said, just go. Go. Just go. Don't be spooky. His words were, don't be spooky. Just because when I was asking him, how, what, God, where should we go? Is there a leading of the spirits? And that's what he told me. Don't be spooky. In other words, don't be mysterious. Spooky, check. Spooky. And he said, the English is not reaching the people. Check. Put the spooky on the notice board, please. Put spooky on the notice board and let us see what it means. Do you know how to spell spooky? S-P-O-O-K-Y, please. Hey. Is there a science student who is doing it there? You need a science student to control the screen, but an art student to check the English. Spooky, we are waiting. When I was about BA. All right. Whenever they sort themselves out. How many principles have I given you? Only three. Huh? Four. Number four. You must be, after you are born again, you must become fruitful to avoid being taken away from Christ. Yes. Or to avoid losing your salvation. How many want to lose your salvation and go to hell? God for really bit. John 15 verse 1. I am the vine, true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Verse 2. Okay. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now notice, if you don't bear fruit, you are a branch. I think those who are farmers and so on would know that you prune. Like this side is not bearing fruit, so let's cut off this side. Or this tree is barren. Like I have two trees in my house which are near to be taken away. I carried them specially and they are not bearing fruit. And they are in danger of being taken away. It's just that my mind hasn't come to it. Yes, my mind hasn't come to it, but they are in danger. So once you don't bear fruit, you are in danger of being taken away. So what is the meaning of taking away? What is the meaning of taking out? These are the options. One could be you'll be taken out of Christ. God for really bid. Because it's like you've been brought to Christ. You get it? Expecting that you will throw a rope to save others. Now, since you are not throwing the rope, you are occupying a space on the ledge here. So they push you back into the water and get another person to come on board the ship to help. God for really bad. Then, what does it mean to be taken away? It could also mean to die. It could also mean you are not necessary. Why would you need to die? Why? Because your presence always prevents other people from being around. That's what people don't realize. Your presence prevents people from being around. Oh, yes. You see, if you die, you can try it. If you die and come back after a year, you'll be surprised at the replacements that have taken place. Yes. Yes. You'll be shocked. And that is what, when in our church, sometimes we transfer pastors. And sometimes when you are transferring pastors, the pastors can't believe they are being transferred. Sometimes they are so used to where they are that it shocks them. And they become so used to it, they feel that it is where that is where they are supposed to be. But each time I transfer pastors, I can see that they are surprised. Me? Go? Yeah, I said, you go. Because I have gone. I have been transferred from the Kodesh. I'm here now. I was transferred to the canteen. I was not transferred to a higher place. I was not transferred to a beautiful auditorium. Even up to now, we are. It's not a developed, there's no offices, no whatever. I was transferred out of the Kodesh, out of the glorious office and glorious whatnot. Yes. Out into the environment. I was transferred into the environment. And there I was. I've been in the environment since then. Trying to put a shed over our heads. Yes. Sometimes we didn't have even where we are having church in the morning. We sent texts to say that, Charlie, service is here on Sunday. Then sometimes there's a mistake. Then we say remix. Hey, where did Mano see before? Practically. That is how it is. And when you move, you'll be surprised at who comes up to take your place. So instead of dying, try to really do your best so that you are very valuable. Because if you want to try it out, you'll be surprised. Even in marriage, if you try to die, within a few weeks, in fact, on the very day that you die, there are people who will be considering who shall take the place of this person. It's true. Your place will not be taken in the name of Jesus. One day I went to a place where somebody had died, and there was an elderly lady there. I was thinking that they were thinking about the funeral. She was looking at the picture of the dead person and speaking. So I came nearer to hear what she was saying. I thought, our darling. Oh. No, she was saying, who is going to take your place in this house? That's what she was saying. Who is going to take your place? She was speaking to the photograph. Yes. So your presence, you see, the presence of Moses prevented Joshua from becoming Joshua. The presence of Elijah prevented Elisha from becoming Elisha. So sometimes God has to, because when God was commissioning Joshua, he told him, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, arise. So when you play the fool with your position and with what God has given you to do, this verse, John 15 verse 2, may apply to you, and I don't know how it will apply, because it says that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So if God was expecting you to do certain things, to give certain monies, to help win certain souls, to do certain functions in the church, oh, I'm busy, I'm trying, you know, no problem. I take away. So one of the best reasons for bearing fruit is so that you will not be taken away. You know, I remember Prophet Kakra, you know, one time when he finished school, you know, he had finished architecture and he wanted to be in the ministry. I told him, no, you can't do that now. Just, you know, find a job. And he told me, he said, I fear I will die if I don't go into the ministry. I feel I will die. Yes. That is the sign of somebody who understands the reality of what God is expecting. God is expecting something. The day that he got saved, he was not expecting to. He was not expecting to be saved. He was a bad boy. I led him to Christ. He stole my car. When I got it back, I led him. I didn't even know that he had stolen my car, because he brought it back before I could find out. Yes. Now I was leading such a sinner to Christ. And after he gave his life to Christ, Christ was expecting something from him. Expecting a lot of people. And I can point to a lot of people who are saved because of him. Yes. You'll be there and say, I think, you know, I'm salvation. We're just going to be singing every day. Jesus is the answer for those. It's the answer, eh? It's the answer. You won't give the answer to anybody. You've kept the answer to yourself. You've kept the answer to yourself. If you knew the cure for cancer, if you knew the cure for cancer, so when I do this and this, all cancer will be solved, and you kept it to yourself, will you not be called a very wicked person? So be careful that God does not. To me, I tell you, one of the motivations for working for God has been this verse. It's one of the things that keep me going. Sir, when you are not useful, you will be taken away. When you are not relevant to God, whatever he's doing, away. Yeah. So it keeps me moving. Sometimes I see people leaving their call. I say, hey, you don't fear. The day that I went to visit Bishop Saki, that time he was not a bishop. He was a student. I didn't even know him. But I was just visiting him with my friend, who was later became my beloved. Look, you are supposed to find your beloved whilst you work for God. Where do you want to find your beloved? I don't mind your wife Choba. So, it is not wrong, okay? So, as I was doing visitations and invitations, I came to Bishop Saki's room in Saba Hall, and I saw. That's how I even knew that it was a show, because we were going, all the doors were closed, so I was knocking, blue doors. Is it not blue? The color, blue. Then there was one he had written, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Then I knew that this is his room. This is the room. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Does it? And that must be in your heart. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Yeah. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Principle number four. What's principle number four? Principle number four. I said, I need only principle number four. I didn't say all. I said number four. Amen. Number five. After you are born again, you must be fruitful, because that is why God is protecting you. Number five. After you are born again, you must be fruitful, because that is why God is protecting you. Isaiah 5. I want you to be used to verses from Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Malachi. Even if you don't understand some, you understand some. It's just a matter of time. Isaiah 5:1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved. Ida, make a song for us with this song, okay? Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. Okay, verse 2. And he fenced it and gathered stones around, planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower and made a wine press and looked that it should bring forth grapes. And it brought forth wild grapes. Wild grapes are grapes you can't use. Unusable grapes. Grapes that are like stones. Grapes without juice. Grapes when you say, sour grapes. Mercy. Are you a sour grape? Are you a sour grape to God? God for really bait. Now tell the person at the back there, somewhere at the back there, say, are you here? Are you listening to the thing the man is saying? Huh? Are you listening to what he's saying? Verse 3. And now, O inhabitants and men of Judah, I pray you, judge between me. You know, come and be a judge between me and my vineyard. I want you to settle the matter. Now, you must always have a judge in your marriage and your relationship. Otherwise, you may not have, you may not be able to finish the match in 90 minutes. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you need somebody to be a judge between me and my vineyard. How much more you and your husband or you and your wife? Hey. Verse 4. What else could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore then I looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought wild grapes. Verse 5. And now go, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will take away the hedge. You see, that's the protection. I will take away the hedge. Look. Do you think if God is not to protect us, you can stay alive for one day? Somebody who is winning souls and causing problems to the enemy, just one moment the angel moves out. That's why there are several angels. There are several layers of angels all around. Oh yes. You may not see many, many angels. Much supernatural power is working here. Much supernatural power is working. I will take away the hedge, and it shall be eaten up. I will break down the wall, and it shall be trodden down. You will never be eaten up by any enemy in the name of Jesus, and you will never be trodden down by any enemy. Verse 6. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned. I will not attend to you. God said, I will not attend to you. I will not help you. And then there will come thorns and briars. And I'll command the clouds that they should not rain on you. Why? Why all these judgments? Because the vineyard of the Lord is the house, and it is pleasant plant. And you have refused to bear the fruit that was expected of you. So from today, you must trust the protection of God. Yes. Protection of God is on your life, because you are bearing fruits. You know, I was involved in an accident on Tamale Road. I've been in about 3 or 4 near-death experiences. Near, like, when I say near, like, you see that you are dying. You see that you are about to. Because when you are in a car, there's one knock that when it knocks your head, boom, and then your head is divided into. Yeah. I've seen it. I've been on 2 planes that had a near collision at airport. We're landing twice. I've been in a plane struck by lightning. That the whole plane shook. Yeah. I somersaulted. Few have been in a somersault and come out. We somersaulted. If the road is that wall, the car was about here. We somersaulted off the road. When the cars passed, they didn't even see us. We were off. They just But you see, the Lord said to me, my hedge is keeping you. Yes. There's something to do. There's something to do. God will keep you when he sees that there's something to be done, that you will be faithful to do it. Yes. And I see that hedge building up all around your life in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Principle number five. What is principle number five? I can't hear you. That is why God is protecting you. And principle number six. After you are born again, you must be fruitful to show that you are not blind. To show that you are not short-sighted. Amen. And to show that you are not forgetful. Amen. Second Peter, verse 1, chapter 1, and verse 9. Verse 8 and 9. For if these things be in you and abound, all right, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many want to be barren in Christ? How many want to be unfruitful? Now verse 9. He that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see far, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So this verse, 2 Peter 1 verse 9, alright, is telling us that look at the verse. He that lacks these things is blind. So when you are not fruitful, you are blind. And cannot see far. You are just looking at eternal, earthly things. Oh, my car, my shoe, my dress, my day, my life. You don't see far. That's why you are not into spiritual things. Yeah, you don't see far. You are just earthly minded and short-sighted. Yeah, you see, me, I'm working for God and for crowns in heaven. My reward is heaven. I am not seeing short. I'm not short-sighted. No. See far. Far. I'm seeing far. 20 years, 30 years, most of us, add it to your age. You see, many of us here, I don't know where we will all be. 50 years. In 50 years, how old would I be if I'm alive? I'll be a 100-year-old man. Yeah. Can you imagine me 100 years old? And you'll be like 70. It's possible. Recently, I saw some people 100 years old. They were doing 100 meters. 89 years, 90 years old. They were doing 100 meters that they were running. Yeah. Have you not seen it before? Oh, I can show you. All elderly people, very old, 80, 90, 100, 99 years old, were running. I mean, they were doing, they have their own sports. Yeah. How many, you need to put on glasses and see far. Many years ago, a lady said to me, she said, because she came into full-time ministry, she said, Bishop, it seems you saw something long ago. I said, yeah, I've been wearing
glasses for a long time that look far. My eyes are looking far. not hear. Yes, spiritual eyes to see far. Far. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
That's why I do what I do. That's why I preach the way I preach. Yeah. I'm not trying to get no needle from you. I'm trying to get some. Charlie, look, I want to have the poshest house. If any of you have a better house than me in heaven, it will pain me, pal. And a nicer car than me in heaven. A chariot. I want my chariot to be the best. Right now, I'm driving a pickup. That's okay for me. But there, and then yachts and boats, ships. Private jets in heaven. We need jets in heaven. And maybe there'll be some angels. I don't know. Okay, private jet, everything. Whatever is working there, I need to be at the highest level. I don't want any second-hand, lower, false, home use house, home use cars. No way. New brand new. When I get to heaven, I want to have the latest phones. So I can call you at your area. And I hope you'll not be using one of the old type of phones. New brand new phones in heaven. And clothes. What? You know, that's when you see sports. When you get to heaven, you'll be shocked. Ida has a song. It says, if you could see me now. If you could see me now in heaven. Yeah. If you could see me now, you'll be shocked. All the people in heaven, so they are singing, hey man, if you could see me. Where I am walking, streets of gold. Our brothers who've gone ahead. They are telling, if you could see me now. So he said, those who are not fruitful, they are short-sighted. Look at it, they can't see far. They cannot see far. They cannot see far. They can't see far. Even if you are a business now, you must see far. Yeah. Yeah. You see, when you serve God, doesn't mean you shouldn't do what is sensible. See, when I was in medical school, I did all my work. I put it down, make sure that I know. Even when I was doing outreach, I had some of the questions in my pocket. Yes. So that on the way back, I'll be checking. Then the spiritual one. That's when I was doing evangelism, medical school. Don't broadcast. I stand and clap. Hey, wake up! As if I'm not a student. I used to clap at the doctor's flat. Clap and wake them up. Wake up to listen to about God. Lab tech students, X-ray students, woke them up. Nursing students, some of them are pastors now. Why not? At the same time, I was doing my medicine coolly. You never get me referred. Even one day, never. It had never happened. 7 years in the school. To refer, repeat, no. Trail, whatever. I came to learn of that word. This is a word even. Trails. And that's when I see people who don't want to work for God. They have all kinds of excuses, but those excuses, they work here, but it will not work in heaven. When the guy who wanted to do nothing, he hid the two, one talent and put it down. When he came to Jesus, he said, here is your talent. Oh, I don't like trouble. Here is your this. I haven't done anything wrong. Jesus nakeded the man immediately. Nakeded him right there and there. He said, you are not a good man. You see, God, he was saying, I have not stolen. I have not done anything. Here is everything. I have done what you gave me. I have given it. It's preserved. I have not stolen. I have not done it. I have not lost it. Jesus nakeded him right there. He said, you are a wicked and slothful servant. Actually, that's what you are. You are not righteous. You are wicked and you are lazy. You see people in church giving excuses. To do nothing. Excuse for everything. They can talk. You see, you can win an argument on earth with whoever you are faster at talking. You see, the one who talks faster and has more words wins argument most of the time. I And when you are married, you should assess who talks faster and who has more words. That person will win all the arguments. You've won. Because your words were more, and then it's like, my words were few. But in heaven, you can come and say, Jesus hasn't even asked the man for anything. He said, I know you are a hard man. I know you reap what you don't sow. I know you are like this. I know like this. I have not taken anything. Here is everything. I'm clean. Here, Jesus said, naked at him. They said, you are not clean. You are not clean from nowhere. You are a wicked man and a dirty, lazy man. Out to the outer darkness. You think you are coming to win arguments here? Stupid. Damn fool. You think you are on earth when you just win with reasons and technicalities? You just say, use various things as excuses all the time. Oh, because of this, because of this. Oh, because of this. Am I this, this, am I this? Oh, when I was a child, this happened. So because of that, my mother, this, and my school fees, am I this, am I this? Look, they will give you 10 dirty slaps. You'll be on the floor before you can speak in heaven. Nobody is going to argue with you. People can argue. How many have watched this film before, The Passion? Oh, you haven't watched it. Oh, then I was going to tell you a very important story. But since you haven't watched it, how many have watched it before? No, raise your hand. I want to see whether you've really watched it. Yeah. Aha. Well, what language do they speak? Yes. Aramaic. And then you see the English under, isn't it? The first time I watched this film, I went to watch it in a cinema hall. Is that what they call it? Yeah. Modern cinema place. Yeah. I was with some brethren. And then, are you listening?
Yes.
Well, I will not tell you the story. Shall I tell you the story?
Yeah.
I'm talking about people who can argue. So as the film was going on, my friend and my friend were arguing. They were talking. They were talking in the cinema room. We were in America. They were talking. So some people nearby, some Americans, told them that, shh, be quiet. You are disturbing. But the guy that we were with, he's a top arguer. Like, you can't win an argument. So do you know what he asked there? Do you know what he asked the white man? He asked the white man, do you speak Aramaic? Like, do you speak the language that they are speaking in the cinema? Do you speak that language? Are you not reading the thing as we are reading? Concentrate on reading it and read it. Stop saying you are disturbing us. Do you understand the language? I tell you, I was very happy that the guy was on our side. Because he silenced the people. Do you speak Aramaic? But you see, you can't get away in heaven with this type of argument. When you come to heaven and you start saying, do you speak? When Jesus said, do you speak whatever? Have you been to Ghana before? When they ask, have you been to University of Ghana before? That you are telling us that we should have been fruitful. Have you been to university in Ghana before? Do you know what it's like to be in your time when you came to earth, was there university? Hey. Jesus will naked you right there and tell you something, you'll be surprised. So those of you who are used to winning arguments on earth, be careful, because heaven is not a place to argue. Heaven is different. All right? Finally, I'm just going to give you one verse for the last one. Number 7. You must be fruitful because it's a blessing. That's when your life is blessed. After you are born again, you must press on into fruitfulness because it is a blessing with many blessings to be fruitful. It is a blessing with many blessings to be fruitful. It is a blessing. Amen. Now, Genesis 1:28. Wow. What does it say? God blessed them and said, what? Be fruitful Genesis 1, 27, please. 27. All right. God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him. Male and female created him. Then what did he say to them? And God blessed them. Blessed them. And said, be fruitful. Wow. You know, Lighthouse Chapel International, we started in a little classroom. And God blessed that little group in the classroom. And that little group to be fruitful. That was a blessing. And you know that many years ago when I was staying with my uncle, I used to walk out in the night, in the day and the night. And I used to pray. I was always praying for one thing. But I remember one particular rainy night, rainy day. I used to walk so much that one day the police even came to say that I was walking at the wrong place. Yeah. But I remember one night, Lord, let me be fruitful. It has been my prayer. And fruitfulness has characterized most of the ministry. Whether it's books, churches, crusades, whatever. It's a blessing. If you take a little classroom with a few people, and it's blessed, it becomes many people. When I was in the UK, so many, the First Love Church, plenty like this. They were never in Lighthouse before. They are new people. You think you are in Africa. Yeah. Like it's not in Europe. Yeah. Large congregation. And they are headed for 5,000. So we have to also move to 10,000 before they catch up with us. If your money is blessed, it becomes more. If your church is blessed, it becomes more. If your family is blessed, the family members become more. You bless them. Say, God bless them. Say, be fruitful. Be fruitful.
Yes.
Be fruitful.
Amen.
Be fruitful.
Amen.
Amen. One day, one of our pastors bought day-old chicks. Little chicks. Because he was doing a farm. And he fed them. And fed them. And fed them. And fed them. And they never grew big. I don't know where the food was going. They ate. They never increased. Never. They were not blessed. But I declare over your life, you are blessed. You are blessed with the blessing of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Stand to your feet, everybody. Tell somebody, I'm blessed. I'm fruitful. After I'm born again, I've become very fruitful. Very, very, very fruitful. Lift your hands. Father, thank you for fruitfulness after salvation. After salvation, it's not going to be standing still, doing nothing, but it's going to be fruitful, fruitful. I want you to pray the prayer I prayed in England in 1970, whatever. Lord, make me fruitful. 1980, I think I prayed this prayer. 1980. Lord, make me fruitful. Fruitful. In the name of Jesus, fruitful, fruitful. In the name of Jesus, make me fruitful. Kala mashantolo mokabarandali mamandali bobola baba barala bala bara shinele. Everybody, look at the back. Everywhere, no one talking. No one. Don't look at anybody. Just pray this prayer. Lord, now that I'm born again, make me fruitful. Fruitful. Upstairs, everywhere you are, outside, pray. Lord, make me fruitful. Very fruitful. What you are expecting of me, make me fruitful. Thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you thanks. And we give you praise. Amen. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you are here today, you are not born again, or you want to be born again, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, come, lift your right hand up high. You want to give your heart to God today, then lift your hand up high. I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. You want to say, from today, I want to be born again. I want to give my life to Jesus. Lift your right hand up high. God bless you. God bless you, God. And come to me in the front here. Quickly. Come.
Come unto Jesus. Give him your life today. Come unto Jesus.
I want to give my life to God. Come.
Let him have.
I want to change. I want to turn away from Satan, from sin.
Come on.
I want God to change my life.
Jesus. Give him
Jesus.
Give him your life today. Come on.
Lift your hands. Say this prayer. Say, Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I give my heart to God. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Please wash my sins away with the blood of Jesus. From today, I give my heart to God. I give my heart. I give my life. I give my everything to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I give my life, my name, my heart, my everything to God. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Come into my heart and stay in my heart forever. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Now, all of you, this prayer is as a simple prayer. But when you go for a wedding and they say, do you take so and so as your wedded husband? You say, I do. As soon as you say, I do, know you are married. So this small prayer that you pray, just these words you have spoken, have made you a born again Christian from this moment forward. Amen. So as a wedding ring, I'm going to give you one of these little books. Because when you go for a wedding and you get married, you have to get a present. Wedding present. Maybe not a wedding ring. The wedding ring Jesus himself will give you. But this is a present for your marriage. Amen. Do you like my present? It is a special book. Normally this book costs about 40 CDs, but it is for you free. So write your name and don't give it to anybody. Okay? And will you read it? Make sure you read it. Now next week, Sunday, we are here. We are here always Sunday. Every time we are here. Even when you are late, you can go. This is the church you can come when you are late. Some churches, when you go and you are late, you can't go again. It's like it's finished. But our church doesn't finish at all. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So every Sunday, okay? Don't say the church is foul. No. It can never be far. God is changing your life every day. And this book that I'm giving to you is a sign of something wonderful that God is giving to you. Amen. Me, you know, when I was in secondary school, that's what I did. I gave my life to Jesus. That's all. That my whole life changed. How will I be preaching here? Because I'm a doctor. But I'm preaching every day I preach. Every day I preach. So, this is a blessing for you. So, I want you to read it. And next week, Sunday, no matter what, you are here. Bus or no bus, people or no people, arrive. Hey! God has changed your life. I say, God has changed your life. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Now, you may go back to your seats. When we close, this side there, where they have written, have you seen Salvation Corner? Come there with your book. When you hold your book, they will allow you to sit there. All right? God bless you. You may go back to your seats. Congregation may be seated, and it's time for communion. Wow.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which is shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the meal, the holy meal of God. It will sustain you, it will make you whole, it will give you life. When I see the blood, oh yeah, I will pass over you. Communion of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal, it is the meal of God. It will sustain you, it will make you whole, it will give you life. When I see the blood,
all right, stand to your feet. John chapter 6, verse 50, verse 55. My flesh is meat. You are about to eat meat. Amen. Many years ago, I saw a lady. She was left with a few days to live. She was dying. I thought at first she had cancer. She had HIV. She had tuberculosis. But I found she had none of those diseases. She had lacked bread, food. The food was the medicine that she didn't have. And because of the lack of it, she was dying. So you may not know the effect of this food to keep you alive. Now you are about to take a supernatural food. Father, thank you for supernatural meat. We declare this to be supernatural food and meat to everyone that partakes. All the young children here shall grow old. And all the old shall grow older. And all shall finish their course because of this supernatural meal which we receive today. In the name of Jesus, the body and the flesh of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. How many know that acid can cut you and burn you? But how many know that there is something that can neutralize acid? Father, we declare this to be the blood of Jesus. Whatever is acidic in us, whatever is destructive, by the blood, we declare that it is capable of neutralizing anything that is evil in us, eating us away, It stopped today. It stopped today. It stopped today. By the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands and receive your blessing. Whatever takes away your peace, I rebuke it. Whatever takes away your happiness, I curse it. Whatever brings sorrow to your life, I overcome it in Jesus' name. Whatever stands up very proud before you, I crush it in Jesus' name. Whatever threatens you, I threaten it by the blood of the Lamb. Whatever has targeted you, has isolated you, and has pursued you, I drown it in the name of Jesus. Let the blood of Jesus be a solid defense for your life. The blood you have received and the bread you have received, in the name of Jesus Christ, be a solid defense for you, for your family, for your loved ones. It is declared to be so in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Receive supernatural protection. Receive a planting of the hedge all around you.
Yes, I receive.
Receive supernatural walls all around you. Be heavily defended in the spirit from today. Be heavily defended in the spirit from today. Be protected from all manner of evil.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
May your enemies perish this week.
I receive it.
May your tormentors perish this week.
I receive it.
May all liars and deceivers in your life perish this week.
I receive.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As the Egyptians drowned in the Red Sea, may your enemies also drown this week.
Amen.
And may they be found no more.
Amen.
Somebody here, something has isolated you.
Professor. Professor.
And targeted you.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, I defend you in the spirit. And I declare that it cannot have you.
Amen.
It cannot have you.
Amen.
You cannot be hurt by the enemy.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus,
I receive it.
Be defended.
I receive it.
Be covered.
I receive it.
Be delivered.
I receive it.
Be protected.
I receive it.
From all snares.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Anything that keeps your progress,
Professor,
keeps you from moving forward and progressing,
yes,
may it be taken out of your way today.
Jesus
Christ. You are declared a champion and victorious over all the works of darkness this week.
I receive it.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lift your hand into the cloud and receive the blessing of Jehovah over your life. Whatever you can't reach in the natural,
yes,
you are reaching it by the power and the grace of God.
It.
Wherever you can't attain to,
yes,
you are attaining it by supernatural
it.
Grace and supernatural power and provision of God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone give the Lord a mighty shout of praise.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dyke-Ward Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.